support each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
It is our duty to fight.
It is our duty to fight.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love and support each other.
We must love and support each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
It is our duty to fight.
It is our duty to fight.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love and support each other.
We must love and support each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives, they do matter.
Black lives, they do matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Your soul, black lives matter.
Your soul, black lives matter.
We, the Real Silent Sam Coalition, would like to extend our support, express our solidarity, and affirm our kinship with the members of the Concerned Student 1950 at the University of Missouri. First, we would like to highlight and send praise to the work done by queer, black women in organizing and leading this historic movement. Your work is not going unrecognized. We are fully aware that without your voices and strength, the movement would not continue to thrive in Missouri. We support you and commend you for your extreme courage and resilience in the face of the violence and white supremacy enacted by white students, the KKK, and the silence of the administration. The experiences you have endured through your organizing and activism at your university has laid bare the precarious existence of black people in white supremacist institutions. The history of black existence on college campuses is one that is defined by the consumption and theft of black labor. These institutions, built on the backs of black bodies, continue to relegate black existence to servitude and profit, fetishization and consumption, and commodification and accumulation. Black labor, along with that of other racialized groups, is both central and foundational to the workings of the university space. The black athletes couldn't make this any more clear. We know that here at UNC, without exploited black laborers, the university would come to a complete standstill. The dining halls would shut down. The seats at the Dean Dome would stay unfilled, and Carolina Blue would not be anywhere near as profitable as it is to the university today. In the case of the University of Missouri, it is apparent that you are making history, not only on your campus, but on campuses across the world. We see your work as a revolutionary call to action for us to build community power and collective resistance. We see your work as a message of support in our coming endeavors. To those who would threaten your sense of safety, remember, we are watching. solidarity, and strength, the real sign of SAM Coalition.
Can everybody hear me? Cool. There comes a time in everyone's life when they must draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that time has come. Yesterday, my mother called to check in on me, as she does every day. I told her that I wouldn't have the opportunity to speak at this occasion. She didn't have many words for me, besides, please be safe, don't get shot. Milan brother spoke with his mother later that day, and I heard her cry out to him. She begged for an answer. She was frustrated when asking where she could take her son and her daughter to ensure their safety. Where could people look past their skin and respect them for their many differences? She kept repeating that her black children, could not coexist anywhere in this country. And as her mother, their instinct kicked in, she even proposed the idea of walking in front of him every day as he navigated campus. Her voice then lowered when she realized that even this precautionary measure might not be enough. I stand here today on behalf of the National Panhellenic Council and the Office of Diversity and Multicultural Affairs. I stand as a student. I stand as a leader. I stand as a Tar Heel. But more importantly, I stand as a black man in solidarity with our brothers and sisters of Missouri University. I stand realizing that these recent series of events are not unique to Missouri, but rather the result when cries for justice continue to fall on deaf ears. Today is a product of these deaf ears realizing that the issue of Missouri is becoming ever more the issue of their backyard. To my peers, I love you and I respect you. I greet you first. I greet you in acknowledgement of your day-to-day struggles. I greet you first to tell you that your battles, personal and shared, are being handled as we speak by a higher force, when it seems like you have no outlet and no one currently to turn to. I ask you to cast your worries upon him, because he cares for you. I salute you for trying your hardest to push through. I salute you for keeping your head towards the light, even in this prolonged period of darkness. Please do not give up, though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. To my professors, you are an integral part of our campus, and we need you. Those of you that understand, to be able to look us in the eye and give us guidance. What worked when you were in college will not work for us, but I call on you because I miss your voice outside of the classroom. To my administration, I hope you are listening and I hope that we now have your attention. Dialogue is not a final solution to our problems. Dialogue should have an end goal in mind. It should spark action. My mother and father would not remain neutral on issues that concern the livelihood of their children, so stop remaining neutral on issues that plague the students of your university. I ask that you step up and begin to draw that line in the sand. It should not take a potential threat to university revenue to get your attention. To the men and women who accuse me and my family of color for endangering our society, do not be fooled. You are right. I am a threat. I am a threat to a way of life. I am a threat to a society that is comfortable with complacency. I am a threat to a country that confines itself to mediocrity because it places limits on those with potential. We aren't just gathered here for the students in Missouri. We are here because of you and you and all other students whose melanin has been impacted by the cancer of prejudice. My back is to a symbol of the administration because now I face you. I face you because we have the next step. I face you because we are the next generation. Class of 2016 through class of 2019, we need to come together as a community. No, a family, to unify ourselves. We must realize that our experiences on this campus are unique, and oftentimes we make the mistake of trying to deal with these problems and discomforts alone. Let us give context and power to this phrase, Black UNC. We have a number of brothers and sisters willing to help us that do not look like this, but it starts in-house. In this moment, as Dr. Clayton commonly refers to it, we must grab hold to the winds of change and allow it to carry us to a new day. I cannot lie. As a rising senior, having recycled conversations, believing empty promises, and settling time and time again for unrealistic timelines and compromises, I am tired and I am broken. But I hold true to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which tells us not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we faint not. The main thing you can't do is fatigue, period. You can rest, you can sleep, but you can't fatigue. Our work is endless and absolutely, absolutely critical. Thank you.
Check. Got some sound. Okay. Can y'all hear me? It's not. Cool. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
For the strength and encouragement of your neighbor, everyone look to their left and to their right and tell your neighbor with conviction and reassurance that everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
My name is Jeremy McKellar. I stand here today as president of the Black Student Movement on behalf of the Black Student Movement and as a concerned student, standing in solidarity with our brothers and sisters of Missouri University and across the nation experiencing racial tension, racial confinement, racial discrimination, and discomfort at the comfort of those with power and privilege. I first want to commend the University of Missouri and activists there for their efforts and strive for equality on their campus and the great strides that they have made to bring about change at their university. But it seems that with steps of progression and prosperity, those with power and privilege, and to be quite frank, some white counterparts still have hate and evil in their hearts. They fight and terrorize us to aid in regressing our forward movement. These efforts of regression consist of threats against the lives of many people due to the color of their skin, hateful words from surrounding community members and students, antagonization, and the act of inflicting fear on my people to halt any attempts at forward progression. But today I say no, we take a stand to let all hate and people who dare not to see this country and my people move forward, that you shall not succeed, and the greater good of humanity shall rise victorious. I stand here today not only acknowledging what has happened in Missouri and other universities, but also recognizing and bringing attention to our own university and the ground that you stand on. You know, always recognizing and bringing attention, you know, we could very well take place in here on this campus. I make that statement to reiterate that if you think for a second that their problem is not our problem, then you, my friend, are misinformed and sleep to the world around you. So I ask that you wake up and begin to stand up, no matter your race, for this is a human, a world, and a community problem that must be addressed. Tangible and measured changes must occur to strengthen the Black community, the minority community, and the overall Carolina community. I hate no individual, and everything that is going on requires that you take an introspective look at your character and heart internally. It requires conviction. This hate and racism that we thought was extinct is most certainly alive, and it was swept under the rug in the hopes of disappearance and extinction. However, that rug has been moved and shaken, and the chickens have came home to roost. I ask that if you are white or a privileged individual who cannot see this world through my eyes or share my same feelings, I understand. I only ask of you sincerely and assertively to stop for a minute and realize that there are human individuals who were born the same and live and breathe the same air and walk the same streets and walk the same campus as you do, that are truly suffering. In order to aid and help, you must be a concerned student. I look around my campus, dining halls and classrooms, and see unconcerned students who do not bat an eye or cringe at the sight of oppression of my people. I tell you, if you love us, and that you love me and care for us in the way that you say should be a little bit more affected and a lot more concerned. For even though this nation was built for you, it was built by us. And we ask for our fair share at the table. This isn't going away. We're going to have to face it head on. But this is not about a small group of people. But this is the masses of black and brown bodies who share these same feelings and sentiments. If only I could share with you a small portion of the mental taxation we grow through, your soul and heart would be changed. Moving forward, my own people, I'll toot our horn for a second. Do not be discouraged, my brother and sister. You are beautiful. You are strong.
Yes.
You are smart. You are powerful. And we are the greatest creatives on earth. With just the resources we have now, just imagine what the future holds. And I stand by that statement. Moving forward, and we are also, let me make clear, we are also nothing. We are also nothing when we are separated and disconnected. Our people must not let this be the only unifying event that brings us together. If we only come together during duress, in times of turmoil, we will stay in that state. But rest assured, brighter days are to come. Following this, I encourage leaders, and I will hold myself accountable for our communities and organizations that are collaborating to continue to work toward together and feed off one another to make changes happen. I have hope that our administration is listening, and I hope that we have your attention and are willing to see and work towards tangible and evident change for the betterment of the Carolina community. Dialogue should be minimal, yet it is effective, but action should be capitalized on. Now look to your neighbor, to your left and your right. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
There's much work to do.
There's much work to do.
Into Missouri.
Into Missouri.
I'm sorry. Into Missouri and universities across the nation, Yale, Ithaca College, Howard, we stand in resonance, we stand in agreement, we stand in acknowledgement, and we stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters that there's work to do. One love.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now give another round of applause for Jeremy. He's the hardest working man. My name is Destiny Planter. I'm a senior, political science and English double major here at UNC. Anyone who knows me knows that the Black Student Movement is very near and dear to my heart. So I'm here on behalf of BSM just to educate you all, for those who don't know about BSM, the history and the goals that we still have to uphold here today. So the Black Student Movement was created on November 7th, 1967. And I'm going to share some goals with you all because these goals are very imperative to today. So our goals are to strive for the continued existence of the unity among all its members. So if we break that down, unity, we are powerful together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Second goal, voice the concerns and grievances of its members to the university. There's power in numbers. We can be vocalized. We are powerful once we stand together. Make sense? Number three, to offer outlets to express Black ideals and culture. And my favorite one, the last one, to establish a culture distinct from the dominant culture here at UNC. Today, we stand together to focus on this specific goal. We'll focus on establishing a culture not only distinct from UNC, but from society's culture today. We join together so that we can love one another and embrace our differences. Our end goal is that so every culture can and will have an equal opportunity. We are powerful if we stand together and embrace our differences. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm not going to say much because my brothers and sisters have said it all. So I'm Charity. It doesn't matter my major. It doesn't matter why I'm at Carolina. It matters why I'm here now. And I'm here because this hurts and this is painful. This is tiring. I'm tired of trying to focus on schoolwork and focus on being an activist and trying to bring communities together. We are here today because
we gonna support each other. I'm here to make sure that this message resonates with every Black person here. This is our problem. This is more than just one problem that we can fix on our own. We have to unite, like Jeremy said. And I just want to make sure that you all take this moment, take this pain, take this hurt, anger, and frustration, and remember it and hold on to it and use it to fuel everything that you do. You're at Carolina more than just to get a degree. Y'all are gonna take those degrees and you're gonna change the world, but it doesn't have to, we don't have to wait till we cross that line and get our diplomas and get our degrees. It can happen right now. We're here and we can change it. And I'm saying that now to empower everyone. Feel empowered. Feel like you have the ability to change the world, because you do. We're doing it right now. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it the next day. And we'll keep doing it. And we won't get tired, because we are here for each other, just like all of my brothers and sisters just said. That's all I have to say, because I really want to make sure everyone out here gets to speak their piece. So without further ado, we're going to open up the mic to the people out here.
Give them another round of applause to RSS, NPHC, PSM. Thank you. As most of you know, we had a tragic event on our campus a couple days ago. So we're going to have a moment of silence for Dimitri Allison. Thank you. Building Black Community is Black Power. All right, so now we're going to open the mic. We give preference to Black women, and after that, non-Black students of color.
All right, shall we?
Hi, y'all.
Good morning.
My name is Shelby Dawkins Law. I am a proud third-year PhD student at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This is my ninth year here after going to undergrad here, and in the 9 years I've been on this campus, honestly, I have never seen so many Black people in one place at one time. And that is sad. It's sad that it takes a tragedy to bring us together. And after seeing so much of the movement that's been happening as of late, especially with our University Day protest, I want to call attention to something, because when Mitch handed me this poster that said it happens here too, I want to remind y'all right. that it happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay?
After our University Day protest, mm-hmm. we pissed some people off, and some Confederates came over to our campus and had a rally and held high that symbol, the Confederate flag, a symbol of hatred, of terrorism, and of the murder of countless Black people in this state. When they came, I was terrified. I use the word terrified because they're terrorists.
Let's go.
Let's be honest. Now, y'all may sit here, some of y'all may doubt this, and say that that rally was about Southern heritage. Then riddle me this. Because I'm tired of this. I have to call this out for it. Call a spade, call terrorist a terrorist, okay? Call white supremacy. A friend of mine who lives in Spencer Dorm was minding her own business, walking on her campus where she pays her money to get her degree. And she will cross and get that degree this December. And I want to applaud her. Mm-hmm. But as she walked from her dorm, Spencer, towards Morrison Lot, the police stopped her and said, don't come over here unless you're going to the rally, because we're getting ready to escort these people to have their little parade on campus, and unless you have business here, no, you should go back to your dorm. As she walked back to her dorm, She noticed out of the corner of her eye KKK paraphernalia in the back of one of these people's cars. If you want to sit here and lie to yourself and tell yourself that that rally was about Southern heritage, I don't even know what to say to you at this point. Just because they didn't wear hoods doesn't mean they didn't want to. Just because they didn't burn a cross on our campus doesn't mean they didn't want to. For those of you who were there today, you can back me up. There's a picture on Instagram somewhere of this. One of those, let me not cuss. One of those people fashioned a belt into a noose and hung it from his Confederate flag. And the police had to come over to him and tell him to take it down. Because that's obvious hate speech, right?
Okay.
Now, leading up to all this, because I was so involved, I was on the news. My face was very large in the DTH a couple weeks ago. And my family is in fear for my life at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I get phone calls every couple of days from my aunts, from my grandparents, from my parents, from my cousins, pleading with me to stop, pleading with me to be quiet, because they're afraid of what might happen to me. I had my best friend tell me, don't walk your dog at night, don't be unaccompanied going home. I legitimately spent a week asking friends to drive me home, not taking the bus. I didn't take my dog out at night. There was one night that I just broke down into tears because I didn't feel safe in my own home. I was scared that these people were gonna follow me home from that rally that day because they knew what I looked like. That's not right. I shouldn't be terrorized at my own school. I didn't go into $150,000 of debt to be terrorized at my own school. And counting, because I still have a year left. Okay? I wasn't guaranteed funding when I came here. And what? That's a whole other topic. But I want to say today that I want to repeat some words that my stepmother said to me last week. My stepmom graduated from here in 1991, and she was a member of Delta Sigma Theta. She was on the dance team. She was a Governor's Scholar. She was a Morehead Kate Scholar. She was the shit. And she's from Winston-Salem, and she called me because she was concerned about all this stuff, just like everybody else. And she said to me, there's the battle, and there's the war. And don't just focus on the battle. Because we've been fighting this war for since before 1776, let's be honest. And she said to me, the most powerful thing you can do is graduate. That's what they don't want us to do. They don't want us here, and they don't want us to finish. So to all of you who are standing in front of me here today, graduate. That's all I want y'all to do.
She's speaking truth. Yeah. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Black success and black love is revolutionary. All right, another thing to open the space, black and non-black students of color, students, work girl faculty, no administration. Tar!
Heels!
Tar!
Heels!
Why does that roll off the tongue better than Black Lives Matter?
Woo!
Why is that so much easier to say? Do you not agree with it? Do you not believe it? To be utterly clear, Shelby was saying that asserting that her life has meaning puts us in danger.
It does.
That claim alone puts us in danger. Maybe the thing is that we're so used to pro-white meaning anti-black that's what people think pro-black looks like. Pro-black is nothing but self-love, that you deserve worth, that you have value, that you deserve to be treated like a human. There's nothing else. Don't confuse your hate with our love. That's not what it is. I'm sorry, I get my name. My name is Mariah Monsanto. I'm a graduate of this university about a year ago from now. I'm gonna be honest, this whole Tar Heel Way, they got me when I got here. Ooh. You know, they got me, they had, you know, we did PU, all the brown people was love and it was great. And then I got here and I realized that I literally had to create a community to feel welcome and feel safe. And like, I mean, think about it. How many of you all in the crowd right now are a part of X amount of organizations? You go to spaces that you feel comfortable and you feel safe because the grander one is not the case. I wrote a poem because I do that to cope with the bullshit, Alcus, the bullshit that we gotta deal with, that black people have to deal with on a regular basis. And I'm gonna do a disclaimer. I usually don't do disclaimers.
This poem might make non-black people uncomfortable.
But I just wanna reiterate this poem last 3.5 minutes. Black lives are on a daily basis. Being uncomfortable happens on a daily basis. Going into a classroom and being the only black girl people looking at you like, yeah, is on a daily basis. So y'all can handle 3 minutes. That's cool with y'all. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. I look down on UNC campus and see buildings named after white supremacists. Grand dragons that breathe fire on many a wooden cross on black man's yard. See, some would like to tell you that this fire has been extinguished, that it was a product of its time, but those that pay attention know the fire only shifted location, moved up the spine of this nation through its shoulders to form semi-automatic weapons, also known as firearms, held by policemen, I mean criminals, no, I mean policemen, that only seem to point in the direction of those the same color as many a wooden cross on black man's yard. See, the flames are just for show. You don't need them for burning to happen. Sometimes all you need is rope and tree limb and limp neck. Sometimes all you need is black body on late summer afternoon on concrete. Did you know that after a lynching, bodies would be left hanging for all to see, and I saw every single one but one still fresh in my memory, Michael Brown. Was murdered in the street, left for 5 hours before being removed, not by ambulance, but by SUV. The sun beamed down to kiss his skin one last time as an apology for his birthright turned target. I am truly sorry. I never meant for him to become a raisin in the sun. The murder of Michael Brown, of Maya Hall, of Ayanna Jones, of Jonathan Farrell, of, you know, Kendrick McDade, of more people, because I didn't check the news before I got here, tells me that the only way the police have your back in this country is by pulling bullets in it. I wasn't aware the motto to protect and serve came with the pretext of pick and choose whom to. Have bastardized my power in these guns that some of these pale faces just can't stop pointing at you. I mean, I don't understand this homoerotic fixation. They bathe in me just to get a taste of what you have naturally. They're in love with black people, but not my people. It's a catch 22 using a 40 Smith & Wesson. These bullets don't have names when they fly. I see your black as beautiful, but others see it as bullseye, so they shoot and are eased when they see that you bleed the same red as they do. Did you know that black people are now murdered at a higher rate as lynchings did during the era of Jim Crow? A time for open disdain from people I didn't touch my lips to at birth. Perhaps they are mad because you have visible proof that you are loved, that when you stand in my light, your skin only grows a deeper shade of wonderful. When they stand, their skin eventually bubbles and cooks. Your very lives, your very presence is a reminder that you don't need flames or burning to happen. Sometimes all you need are threats of death towards my people, daring for them to show their face in the daylight. Sometimes all you need is acceptance letter into university given to black child and not white. These flames are just for show.
Hi everyone. My My name is Ajanae Robinson Burris. I'm a senior. And I came up here today because I've gone to a lot of different demonstrations out here to have black voices on this campus be heard. And I've kept my voice silent. And I've kept my voice silent because I'm scared. I'm scared of the conflict and what it'll do to me and my mental health and my emotional health. But I'm tired. So it's either be scared or be tired. And today I just chose, you know, just be scared. But one of the most outrageous things to me that I've seen over the past couple of years is things started to rise with tension against black lives is things on our public forums. It's sickening to me to see people disrespect one another and their voice and their lives and their struggle. One thing that I saw recently on Overheard was, I'm sorry, I'm tired of this old poor me. What is this old poor me? We're not whining. This actually affects us. Seeing people die that look like you because they look like you every day on social media and seeing people disrespect from a 10th floor. And whether or not that was actually falling, we don't know. But it hurts deep in your core. And I'm just asking, I am pleading, I am begging everyone to please have compassion for one another because it tears me apart to see us tear each other down. We should be there for one another like we say we are. We should be that family that we say we are when we walk step into this university. It's not okay to ignore one another. If you see somebody struggling and crying, you pick them up and you ask them if they're okay. And if they tell you, yes, I'm fine, they're still crying, they're lying. You be there for them. You open up your heart as a resource. And if you don't know what to do, then you find somebody that knows what to do so they can get the proper help that they need and they deserve. That's all I'm gonna say. I just ask for love because I don't feel enough of it, and it's really distracting. And I know we all have work to do. I know we all have things to do that are important because we're trying to get out of here and graduate and get to that next step. But if you don't have the right support, how are you truly going to be able to accomplish what you set out as a goal in that next step? You can't. Thank you.
My name is Cara Pugh. I'm a sophomore here. And I have some words in the words of Langston Hughes for our administration and the administrations across our nation. Landlord! Landlord! My roof has sprung a leak. Don't you remember when I told you about it way last week? Landlord! Landlord! These steps is broken down. When you come up yourself, it's a wonder you don't fall down. $10 you say I owe you? $10 you say is due? Well, that's $10 more and I'll pay you. Till you fix this house up new. What? You're gonna get eviction orders? You're gonna cut off my heat? You're gonna take my furniture and throw it in the street? Uh-huh. You're talking high and mighty. Talk on till you get through. You ain't gonna be able to say a word if I land my fist on you. This is our home. I have one question. Is it truly my Carolina? Thank you.
Morgan. I'm a sophomore here at EMC. I don't do well speaking on the spot, so I just wrote down some things I want to make sure I addressed. I want to start off with Tuesday it was Missouri. Wednesday it was Yale. Thursday it was Howard. Friday we're here. Every single day seems to get a bit harder. It's a new challenge, it's a new name, it's a new story, it's a new experience of how racism is still prevalent in this country and how people still choose to refuse to believe it. I just want to say thank you to everyone that is here today. Thank you for taking time to come and just show your support, show your solidarity to this movement. This is an ongoing fight that we have. And I just want to remind you, every story is valid. Yeah, sorry. Is this better? Okay. Every story is valid. There's anything that you share, any experience that you have on this campus is valid. A lot of microaggressions take place, and people like to pretend like that is not allowed to be a bigger issue, that being the only student of your race in a classroom is not an issue, that walking on campus and feeling that you don't know who supports you and who doesn't think you're worth anything is not an issue. They are, and it's a mental pressure that comes on you every day. And another reminder that every conversation is important. I know we like to have a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussions, and it does get frustrating that out of these discussions, there's not a lot of action that tends to come out of it, but these conversations are important. These stories are important. Your experiences are important. And just the fact that you're taking the time to share them is making a bigger step. And I get a lot of support with a lot of, on a day-to-day basis, I have a really great support system. I'm really thankful for that, but it's still hard. I'm still broken. This is hard to live every day and go to school and wake up with a new story, with something else that you have to try to explain to people why it is an issue, why you're affected, and why you should be affected. It's draining, but I want to encourage you to still fight, to still share these explanations, to still share your stories, because you never know who you're impacting with your words.
Hey everyone, how's it going? My name is Kyle Osborne. I'm going to try to articulate my emotions, but I think, as we all know, that's something that's really difficult to do, that words and tone can't really express how you feel and why you feel.
Louder!
Words can't really express how you feel and why you feel, but I'll try my best to tell you why I was angry yesterday. And if you know me, I'm not really an angry person. I'm kind of mild-mannered, but I heard my line brother's conversation with his mother. I heard what she had to say. And the great thing is, I know the woman. I know the black woman, the powerful black woman that nearly broke into tears, telling my line brother to be safe so that he could express himself. Tell him that he has to be careful. That's what he has to focus on. Not say how he feels, not say what's really on his heart, but he has to be careful. That's scary. That's sad. Yesterday, I had a really good conversation with a student who's from Britain but identifies as being African. He's like, Mary, I've been here for 3 years. I cannot imagine what it's like to be a black man in the United States for 19. I looked at him and I said, it is hard. It is hard. And I find myself fighting every day. And sometimes I don't know what I'm fighting. I just know that my why is bigger than my what. My why is for my sister who goes to Howard, who received a death threat yesterday. Someone took the time and energy to produce a message that said, I can kill them, they're black, it doesn't matter. That's why I was angry. I was mad because I was listening to the Lieutenant Governor of Missouri, who said that there is no systemic racism in Missouri. Yeah, that's a lie, dude. See, the way this works is that we started at the bottom. We are not here.
Nope.
I don't even know if we're somewhere around here. But I know that we have to fight. We have to find unique ways. A protest is great, but it's not enough. It's the first step. There are documents, there are buildings with history. I went to Wilson Library on Tuesday, and I found the 23 demands that the Black Student Movement wrote in 1968. And I tell you, the file I read was about this big. The demands themselves were actually just 2 pages. But what was inside the file was the response to the demands. And it wasn't, oh, good job, Preston Dobbins. Way to put something forward. I really appreciate that. No. Oil tycoon from Texas said, do not let these niggers have any power. Someone from Carborough said, these niggers are trying to make an impact. Don't let that happen. I can tell you, we are in a different place than where we were in 1968, but there are a lot of ways where we are not. I don't want for you to forget either of those facts. We are in a different place from where we are in 1968, but there are a lot of ways that we are not. And we can appreciate the ways that we are different. We can appreciate the great things that we have now. In 1968, I probably wouldn't be able to stand here without getting shot, without getting fought.
In 2015, you still got that problem.
In 2015, I still have that problem. So thank you. Prime example. So when you leave here, I want for you to feel fulfilled because the first step was taken. We have a foundation right now. But I want for you to know that was the first step. We've got miles to go. And my sister, who's a sophomore at Howard, fortunately she was in Seattle when those threats came out, so I wasn't gonna run up to DC anytime quick, but she might not see change, but she knows that when I call her tonight that I love her, that I'm there for her. My mother knows that when I call her tonight that I love her and I'm there for her. My father knows that, my cousins know that, and my peers know that. My line brothers know that, you should know that. My name is Merrick Osborne, I'm a part of the Carolina community, I'm part of the Black community, and I'm gonna be a part of the change.
Yes, Merrick.
That was really awesome, Merrick. Hi, my name is Joya Freeman, and I'm a sophomore here. I represent the Black Student Movement. I'm the outreach chair this year. First, I wanna thank everybody for being here and standing in solidarity with us today. I wanna address the Black community. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing your support. And know that I love you.
It's okay, baby.
Because it is hard. It is tiring to be a Black person right now in 2015. Know that I am praying for you on my knees every night and every morning. Because it feels like the school is not praying for you. And it feels like the school does not care about you. And it feels like your peers do not care about you. And it feels like your professors do not care about you. And it feels like administration does not care about you. So I care about you. Know that, please. To our potential allies out here, hear my story. Don't cut me off when I talk. Hear me. Accept what I'm saying. Don't pick it apart. Receive it and accept it as my truth and my story. Accept it as her truth and her story. Accept it as his truth and his story. Administration, this is your call to action. I'm asking you please to act. We can sit and we can talk and we can discuss, but I need action. I'm tired of talking. I want action. I'm tired of balancing my homework and worrying about if somebody else is gonna walk onto our campus next and tell me that I don't matter and that my life doesn't matter. Do you know you fear me as you walk at night? But I fear the white person that passes me and wonder, is that the next person to massacre us? Is that the next person to slaughter us? Is that the next person to murder us? Because I have brown skin, my life is devalued. So I'm saying this is your call to action. Please hear us today. Please stand with us. And to the people in Missouri, thank you. I stand in solidarity with you today, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rhonda Bullock. I'm a second year PhD student in the Policy Leadership and School Improvement Program. I graduated from UNC the first time in 2004 with a degree in English and African American Studies. I graduated the second time in 2005, and by the grace of God, I graduated in 2018. PhD. Woo! Yes! Yes! Do it. I just wanted to stand here today to say I'm from a rural small town called Golston, North Carolina. A lot of racism was prevalent for me growing up. My earliest memory was at 5. However, the first time I heard a white male say nigger was in a classroom at UNC Chapel Hill. It just so happened that the white male was the professor reading Huckleberry Finn. No context, no briefing, no anything to prepare the students sitting in that class for what we're about to hear. Just last year in my PhD program, I had a professor ask the class if we had ever played Crack the Whip. In my mind, I said, based on my connection to my ancestry, no, I have not ever played Crack the Whip, and I have no desire to do so. I did not say that aloud. I said that to myself, but I was astonished. It's some kind of game. It doesn't even matter. The name matters. In a sociology class, last fall, about around this time, I was doing a presentation on the literacy experiences of African-American and Latino males, and I talked about how there needs to be more research on schools that have been successful at educating this population because it is possible. And my professor threw up air quotes and said these miraculous schools that have been successful at educating African-American and Latino males need to have further research because who's to say that research, that success has been sustained? Then he also said, and then there's cheating. So basically, the professor was insinuating that the schools that had been successful in educating African-American and Latino males in education were cheating, as if cheating is isolated to one particular population, or as if cheating was the only way for African-American and Latino males to be successful in literacy. And according to him, it was a miracle. Now, education can be a miracle. Sometimes it is a miracle to achieve. Sometimes it's a miracle for us to achieve, but that's not the miracle he was talking about. So I stand before you today, and I challenge the administration, I challenge you all to know, if this school does not put in writing efforts that will be taken to address systemic racism, these words need to be written, systemic racism, white supremacy, anti-racist education, not only for students, but for faculty and staff as well, all of this will be for naught. If it's not written, if there's not a plan, if you're not saying white supremacy, if you're not saying systemic racism, if you're not talking about anti-racism, it's not going to happen. And so we need to watch and make sure. If it's not written, it's not going to happen. And once it's written, we need to make sure they follow through with it. There has to be a shift in fear. We can note professors, you can no longer be afraid to lose your job and not support social justice and not support anti-racism, different programs on campus. You cannot be afraid to lose your funding. There has to be a shift in fear. And as of this week, there was a shift in fear. Now the administrations are afraid. Now they are afraid because the collective voice of the people is being heard and that fear is shifting. You need to be afraid that you're going to lose your job because you're not standing up against racism. Thank you.
Can everybody hear me back there?
Yeah.
So my name is Zakari, and I guess I'm a senior, and I'm a member of the Real Silent Sam Coalition. And I wanted to come up here to address the Black community, to address Black students, but as well as to address the administration, which has been done so far, but there are a few more things that we need to bring up about which I've been doing, so we'll get to that. But first, I think it's all evident, and the people who come up and spoke before me, and the group that we have gathered here today, that we have so much power, y'all. We have so much power. I just want black people specifically, I'm speaking to you, black people, black women, black queer women, black people who are dealing with mental illness, everybody. We have so much power. We have so much power. And it's just a matter of us believing that and acting like it. Yes, there are other things that we have to deal with, but black people, we have power. We have power, we have dignity, we have respect, we have community, and we have unity. And I'm so glad that everybody is out here showing up today. I know everyone couldn't make it out, but I'm so glad that everyone is out here showing up today. So black needs are not being met on campus. They're not being met on campus, not being met in Chapel Hill, not being met in North Carolina, not being met in the United States, not being met globally. Okay, y'all know that though. Black needs are not being met. So, okay. Don't hold back. They tell me not to hold back, y'all. I don't know. Okay. So I want to acknowledge the efforts that the administration has put forward in attempt to have more diversity and inclusion on this campus, and the efforts that the administration has put forward to help us have this rally. They wanted to help us out, y'all. So I guess they sent out a request to get the sound system. Appreciate that. But that's not enough. It's not enough, y'all. I want y'all to know, where was the administration? Where was the administration? Let's start off with this. When the Real Silent Sam Coalition posted their 24-hour slave vigil and DPS monitored us the whole 24 hours, where was the administration? When we were out there reading our ancestors' stories, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., all day, 24 hours, and DPS was surveilling us the whole time. Where was the administration? Where was the administration when RSS hosted the POC quad takeover just a few weeks ago and we were harassed by DPS? Where was the administration? Where was the administration when we were harassed by DPS? Where was the administration? Where were you? Harassed by DPS in a space that was supposed to be safe and closed and for us and loving and radical and uplifting. And this white fucking cop came up there and disrupted our space. Where was the administration? I want to tell y'all where the administration has been at. I want to tell y'all where they've been at. Y'all seen that email, right?
Yes.
About the Confederate rally. Y'all seen that email? Yes. Okay, if you didn't, let me tell you what it said. Yes. So I don't remember exactly whose name was at the bottom. It doesn't matter. The administration. That's what we're going to do that for now. Most likely the chancellor, vice provost, some few other folks. We know who we're talking about, right? I know y'all out there. You know who you are. Yes. This is what the administration did. The administration extended a warm invitation to the neo-Confederate group to come to our campus and to spew their Southern heritage. Y'all know Southern heritage is racist, right? Yeah. Y'all know it's racist, right? Okay, so it is Southern heritage, all right? They came, they did that. Y'all know they extended an invitation for the Confederates to come and parade around campus in their pickup trucks with Confederate flags on the back before they proceeded to parade into the upper quad and hold their demonstration. Do you know that DPS escorted the Confederate group to our campus to spew their racist speech? Did y'all know that? Administration, y'all knew that! Y'all knew that! And you invited them here to this campus. The administration is not protecting black students. Y'all are not protecting black people. Y'all are, I don't even know where to start with this, y'all, I'm so mad.
And you're allowed to be.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I wanna tell y'all that I don't support this administration. I was gonna hold my peace, but why would I do that? I don't support this administration when you extend a warm invitation to Confederate groups to come on our campus and to harass and terrify and scare us. Did you hear the story that was told earlier about students having to see those Confederate folks on their way to their dorm, on the way to class? Y'all don't even want me to start about the racism that we experienced in classes alone, in spaces alone, in the library, on Franklin Street. Do you want me to start with the shit that I go through with white people on a daily basis? The racist white shit that people put me through? Do you want me to start? Y'all don't fucking want me to start with this shit. I just want y'all to know that black people, we deserve better. Administration, y'all need to step up. Our needs are not being met. There is more that we need. Black students need safety. Black students need peace of mind. We need bodily safety. We need our emotional, our mental, bodily safety. We need all of that protected. Okay, but shifting over. Black people, we know what we need to do though, right? We need community, y'all. We need community. We need to support each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to hear each other and listen to each other's stories. We are so segmented on campus at this point. So many different black organizations, black groups, doing things in separate places of campus, and we're all working towards the same thing, y'all. All working towards the same thing, y'all. I'm not here to wait on nobody to give me what's due to me. So I want y'all to know that I and RSS, we're not waiting for shit, okay?
Say that.
Let's go.
We're not waiting. So black people, I want y'all to start standing up. Well, y'all been, not just saying y'all haven't been doing nothing. I know we've been out there, okay? I want us to stand up for each other, to protect each other, to be there for each other, because we know who's not. I'm not relying on nobody. We know who's not, and we know that we got us, and that we can do this, okay? All right, so I'm gonna say one last thing on behalf of myself. My name is Zakari, and on behalf of the Real Science Am Coalition, to the administration, just know, we're watching.
I'm a senior here. I just want to first start off by saying, yes, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm all the things that you could imagine, but I do believe there is an approach to everything. So, you got 10 seconds. You might be mad at me, I don't care. You got 10 seconds to find somebody that doesn't look like you, get next to them, lock arms, and then we'll talk. But just to talk to this section versus that section, it's not going to work. So you got 10 seconds. Let's go. 10.
Get it cracking.
Four, three, some of y'all looking a little slow out there. 2, 1.5. I will call you out if I see you standing next to somebody that looks just like you. If you know me, you know I'm telling the truth. 1. All right, squeezing tight, y'all. How many of y'all ever got in trouble with your parents? Raise your hand. But it's a different kind of trouble. So in the beginning, it's things like, oh man, I know me, I used to go home and be like, maybe she forgot. Maybe the teachers didn't call, you know? Yeah, they did. They definitely did. But my parents loved me. So there was an action that they took to yet discipline me, but to still show me that they love me. So to my administration, to the people that are now seen as the problem, you've hurt me, you've hurt my people, but I do love you because it's not all of you, okay? There are people making strides to make this world a better place, and those people deserve recognition also. It is a hard time right now to be a black student on this campus, but you gotta think, it is a hard time to be a white campus, a white person on this campus who are choosing to do the right thing. There's intimidation coming from both sides. I challenge you to take the step to educate people around you, okay? They're not gonna understand until we make them understand. We can stand here, we can yell, we can scream, we can cuss, we can rally all we want, but the conversation that I'm gonna have with my dear friend Allie here on a regular basis is gonna be a lot more touching to her heart than when they just come out here and they're just hearing all this anger, all this animosity, okay? Imagine, raise your hand, keep it real with me right quick. How many of you ever had someone basically attack you for something they didn't agree with, but it's something that you still did right, or something that you still believed in? Raise your hand high. No one's gonna respond. No one's gonna respond to change if you keep going like this. Thumbs up if you understand. Thumbs up if you understand. If you don't, speak up so I can clarify. Thumbs up if you understand. Some of y'all just looking at me. I'm speaking English, right? Right? My challenge to you, how many of y'all know what our football team says?
Got my back.
You got my back?
I got your back.
You got my back?
I got your back.
When you walk around campus,
the issue is with me and you. So me just talking to you about the issue, what is that gonna fix? She got power, so I wanna be her friend. I wanna talk to her. I was standing next to the provost a couple seconds ago. Yeah, I could stand next to Dr. Strowman. We can see here, we can have a conversation like, oh man, what a time it is to be black. But I'm be like, yo, provost, I don't feel safe around here. You wanna help me out a little bit, you know? We have to talk to the people that have the power. And if you're a human, you know that we, as a human race, do not respond well to screaming, to violence, on top of all this, just out of reaction of anger. I understand that you're angry. I'm angry, but let's have some discipline within our anger, okay? If we really want to get this problem solved, if we really want to take steps, let's take them together. And together includes everybody, because guess what? We're still going to go to school with these people. Our administrative staff's not going to turn from white to all black overnight. It's just not going to happen. How do y'all think it's going to happen? Let's go to class, baby. Because it's not. So again, I say, hug the person next to you, squeeze them. Look at them and say, it's all right, we got work to do. And understand and be intelligent enough to know that it's not going to happen tonight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And just like Jeremy said, or somebody, excuse me, I thought it was German, but maybe not. Don't get fatigued. It's gonna be a race. Who can get there first? But it's not gonna be a 100 meter dash. It's gonna be more like 400 meters. You gotta know when to give, you gotta know when to take, but you gotta also know when to work together, because this is not gonna change. This difference, but see, the difference between this and this will be the start to the change that we need today. So I want you to look at the person and say, you got my back?
I got your back.
You got my back?
I got your
back. Man, I'm gonna follow that up. That was hard. She had y'all touching each other. I can't even touch my fiance without getting cussed out. Tar Heel! First, because there's been a lot of animosity. I agree with what she said. Not that the animosity isn't warranted, but I feel like we need to celebrate really quick. I'm speaking to the black students, but I'm speaking to everyone because you're part of this movement. And your ancestors may have been part of it as well. Let's celebrate first the fact that black people are considered the minority that coalesces so well that there are entire studies dedicated to figure out how we became so united in a system so oppressive. Let's celebrate the fact that through ramen noodle nights, through no cable, through lighting candles, to not knowing if you're going to eat next week, to comforting your parents instead of having your parents comfort you because you don't want them to feel bad that you were born and now you have to feed me. And look at where we're at. We're at the best public university in the nation. Let's celebrate the fact that I can love my gorgeous fiance who is Mexican and I am African American and I cannot be lynched. At least as long as we don't go down any further towards South Carolina. Hopefully, like, it stays down there. But we have a lot to celebrate, ladies and gentlemen. We have a lot to celebrate. Give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. Because there are literally studies dedicated to figuring out how we do this. Because Latinos are having issues with this right now, so they're facing a lot of troubles of their own. Because Asians are having trouble doing this, and they're facing a lot of troubles of their own. But for some reason, blacks have been literally persecuted and marginalized since we've stepped foot on this plane. And every measure has been taken to secure our dispersion. They put us in north to south. They put us blacks against lights, dark skins against light skins. They said, well, if we tell poor whites, well, they're black, so you have it better than they do, they'll attack us. And now, look at where we're at. I don't know if y'all saw the Fight for 15 rally, but everyone was out there. But now we have to deal with the real issues. Now we have to deal with the issues we still have. So as I'm walking this campus, as I'm walking Franklin Street, people ask me all the time, if you see me around campus, you know, I wear a bow tie from time to time, okay? Look, I put on a nice blazer. I like to buy nice shoes. And they're like, oh, you must love attention. I do. But it's because I love the right kind of attention. It's because if I walk around here in sweatpants and some Jordans, I'm a thug. No, excuse me. I apologize. I'm urban. Or the fact that because I have tattoos, and if I walk around with a tank top on, and believe it or not, I used to be about 50, 60 pounds heavier. I used to go to the gym a lot. And this was like last semester. I'm a football player. That's what that means, obviously, right, ladies and gentlemen? I'm a football player. Why can't I just be an intelligent black man that just happened to get a UNC on a full scholarship? Why can't that be it? The fact that I have to overdress, the fact that I have to present myself, what I call overpresent, the fact that I have to wear colorful bow tie, the fact that I have to wear bright colors, should let everyone know the depths of the issues that we have on this campus. And it's much deeper than what happened in Missouri. It's much deeper than the Real Silent Sam movement. It is so much deeper that I can't even go in. We have to have entire fraternities based off of skin tone? Do y'all know that? We have an entire frat court where we can get into parties. We have an entire frat court where black people aren't allowed. Unless you're the token fucking black guy. I had to throw away all my Sperry's and polos. I didn't want anybody getting confused. You know what? I'm going to tell y'all a true story. I went to a party my first week here, two semesters ago. I was with my family, I was with my little brother and some friends. And they call us the United Nations. We're a pretty diverse group. All my siblings are different shades of gray. We get to the party. We weren't, you know, there was no animus. We were just, hey, you know, can we come in? We actually got invited from one of the frat boys at the party. This is a frat court. They told us no, because my brother had a plastic bag. They said he might have something in it. They don't feel safe. So that's interesting. And they just kept repeating that after my brother threw the bag away. I BS you not. That's literally what we have to deal with. Ultimately, I don't want to give the details. Let's just say I'm from Fayetteville. And that party got shut down. Because at the end of the day, it's like what people have said in different ways this entire time. If this space isn't going to be safe for everyone, then well, I'll be goddamn if it's going to be a space at all. That's how it is, and that's how it needs to be. Because the fact that there have to be, I love the brotherhood that a black fraternity gives you. I love the brotherhood that an Asian fraternity gives you, and I understand why it's necessary. But nobody has thought whilst listening to themselves to these fraternities, why do I need to be in an all-black or all-Asian or all-Indian or all-Native American fraternity or all-female fraternity.
Sorority.
I apologize. To feel accepted.
Hey, better speak up.
Because at some point in history, everyone thought it was okay for all white men to have their own exclusive club to stay away from us. And so in order to feel like we're on the same level as them, we separate ourselves and emulate the same exclusionary nature of the people that we feel are oppressing us. Now think about that and internalize that. And we think the problem's only with cops. Point at yourself. It's all of us. Every single person who coalesces at Lenore because they don't, and it's, I understand why. Trust me, I know why we do it. But when you don't stand out and engage with everyone else, and this is for every race, if you don't stand out, if you're standing with your Arab friends, if you're only standing with your black friends, if you're only standing with your white friends, if you're only standing with your Latino friends, you're all wrong. That is where the problems are starting, because we separate ourselves in order and call it uniting. I'm sorry, I don't think y'all hear me. We separate ourselves and then call it uniting. How? That's paradoxical a little bit, don't you think? I don't remember the young lady's name who was up here before I spoke, but she has a point. Before she told y'all all to stand beside someone that didn't look like you, we were all standing beside people who looked like us. And that's the problem. So we need to unite, truly unite, not the Real Silent Sam Coalition, now it's pretty diverse, but there should be more diversity in it.
Because it's like she said, we need to be educating people and pulling them into our movement, and then we will be united. We don't want to be fighting people all the time, because wars never solve anything. They don't. Money solves a lot of things, but that's a whole different discussion. It's a great thing to see all you out here, and we appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, y'all really know how to make somebody feel safe. Thank you all, and let's finally unite and beat this thing.
I'm an international second-year student in the Master of Public Administration. I'm here on behalf of the Black Graduate Professional Student Association, and I would like to applaud the efforts of the Real Silent Sam Coalition, the Black Student Movement, and all other undergraduate organizations working to bring light to the issues of students of color on this campus and nationwide. We want to let you know that we are here. We support you. A lot of time, people feel that as graduate students, we are not connected to this university, but we are. And we partner with you because at the end of the day, this is a war on black and brown bodies. Not just undergraduate students, not just male students, not just American-born people of color, not even just adults, but all black and brown bodies. We stand in solidarity and we stand as one. One love.
What's up, y'all? My name is Botang, and I'm gonna keep it real brief. I'm just gonna direct this to everyone whose office is in Southfield, and I'm looking at y'all right now. We've been out here before. We've protested. We've had rallies. We've done this over and over again. And what a shame. It seems like something happens nationally. We get up here, we meet. You guys show up, we get an email, and then nothing. Your job is to protect. That is your job. That's why you're here. And you think that walking the middle line because you don't want to piss somebody off, when you say Black Lives Matter, you think the Board of Governors is going to be mad at that. So because of that, you're silent. But I don't want the value of my life to be politicized.
Thanks, Bo.
I'm not going to talk a lot. I just want to challenge every single one of y'all to be brave, to be courageous, to speak out, because there's value in hearing the voices of y'all, and your students know that y'all are behind them. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm Simone Oates Bullock. I'm a junior here at UNC Chapel Hill, and I'm gonna be really, really quick. So just a few things I wanna say is that, one, we want to acknowledge the fact that not every white person out here is racist, not every white person is against black people, and we appreciate the white people who are here in this audience. But one thing I do wanna say just very briefly is that until the white people in this country can acknowledge the fact that they have benefited off of this system and continue to benefit off of this system each and every day, we are not gonna make any damn change in America. And I am sick of it. Stop acting like you don't get to go home to your $100,000 houses and sleep peacefully every night. Stop acting like you don't get to go to damn Whole Foods and Kroger Food Line if you're not too bougie and buy groceries for your family. While there's black people out here who have to provide for their family on $725 an hour. I'm sick of it. Just stop it and stop trying to act like you're oppressed. White people are not oppressed. Stop trying to create it. And I know I sound angry, but the only word that comes to my mind right now is rage. I am tired. This conversation has gone on for too long. 400 years later, and we are still out here fighting. What is the problem? Can you answer it? Can anybody in the crowd answer it? I didn't think so. So it is time for people in this country to acknowledge that there are black boys being fed into the school to prison pipeline each and every day. African American students are achieving at a lower rate everywhere across this country. And you don't know why. It's racism. It's white supremacy. That's why black students are struggling in America. Own up to it. Coming to this damn rally ain't enough. You need to acknowledge your privilege. And I'm tired of saying it. I'm tired of sugarcoating it. Because it needs to be said.
And this is also to the black people who do make it out and get their PhDs and do obtain administrative positions. Do not forget where you came from. Because until we can do that, until the black people, as well as the white people in power, can acknowledge that they have some damn influence, we're not gonna make any change. And that's all I have to say.
Good afternoon, everybody.
No, you're gonna talk, okay? You're gonna talk.
My name is Miles Spann, and I am a first-year MPA student and a dual degree with the City and Regional Planning Department. I just want to take a couple seconds to actually just address a couple things. One to all my allies out there, I want y'all to understand that black people in America go through a lot of struggle continuously. It's almost like we live in a perpetual state of post-traumatic stress disorder. We going through war all the time because there's always something in the back of our head saying, maybe I'm not good enough. Or if I say something about this comment that they just made, you know, is that me blowing things up out of proportion? That's a big problem that we have. Did you know that black men actually outnumber black women at birth? And then turn around, we outnumber them 2-1. But then by the time that you enter 18 years old, it's actually, we're outnumbered. Black men are outnumbered 6-1. Due to incarceration, due to murder, due to drugs. Those are serious statistics where a black man is not valued by his own peers or even by himself. I want to make sure that everybody understands that we have to learn how to love each other. And I thank every black man that's out here. But then also I ask for a decree by saying that as black men, we must now stand up for our black women. We have so many black women up here that are crying, that are fighting, that are hurting deep down inside. And us as black men, we don't care. It's only a handful of us here compared to the black women that every day will sit up and fight for us. So black men, I thank y'all for coming out. And black women, please stay strong because we have to show that we love you guys. And beyond that, I just wanted to say one more thing. That as a black society and looking at our allies, I thank our allies for being here. We have to come together for ourselves, but understand respectability politics is not going to save us. It is not about how we dress or how we act. It's the idea that it's something so deep inside of our culture that black people, white people, Asians, any other race, they all hate us because we are taught that we are inferior. We are not inferior because of the color of our skin. And that's something that we need to understand, embrace, and love. The one thing that I've been saying this quote for like the past 2 weeks since I've ever heard it. And it was saying, what America does to the least of us, they will turn around and do to the most of us. So the black plight is not just the black plight. It is everyone. Because if something turns around, if it becomes money, if it becomes class, it becomes age, ableism, it's all connected. And we must understand that we have to love each other, and that's the only way that we're going to be able to move forward. Thank you for your time.
Hi everyone, my name's Jalen, and I feel like often I'm asked to come to the table as Jalen, the student leader, or Jalen, the liaison for students, or the liaison for campus life, but right now I just wanna be myself and just be Jalen.
Is this better?
Okay.
Louder.
Honestly, I just wanted to say that I'm wondering, I guess, when the "but" statements are going to end. Like, what about everyone else's problems? But what about the conservative perspective? But what about black-on-black crime? These kind of things. And I'm wondering when the "at least" statements are going to end. At least you made it to Carolina. At least there's no more segregation. At least we have a black president. Being in spaces where administrators say things like, at least we tried. And I just feel like I have to say that these efforts are just, they're not good enough. And honestly, I'm tired of the administrative actions being centered around the premise of protecting white feelings. And as an institution, I'd like to think that we are better than the inaction that we've seen. We're better than don't aggravate the Confederate protesters. And I'd like to think that I and all of the black people here have a place here. So my call to action to the administrators is to prove me right. Thank you.
My name is Ashley, and I've been here before. Unfortunately, this time a year ago, we were standing in the pit for 4.5 hours, yelling out the names of black people that have been killed by the police, that were unarmed, that were children, that were mentally disabled. And unfortunately, a year later, we're still having this conversation because it's become more than just police doing things, but our schools are now terrorizing us in the exact same ways that the other systems have. There are people on this campus that think that we're just out here crying, oh, poor me, oh, I don't understand. But here are the facts. As our brother just said earlier, black men are essentially endangered species because we are dying before the age of 18 due to incarceration and just death in general. We're being lynched at a rate higher than at the top of the Jim Crow.
You got it, sister.
We come out here because there's nothing more dangerous than an educated black mind.
Come on.
People come and they're attacking our schools. Howard, the mecca of black education, and people are making threats against them. I had a conversation with someone saying, oh, they're not gonna attack us because they wouldn't dare, and yet they're daring because they are angry and they are scared. We are out here now because we have an opportunity to make a difference. Chancellor Folt, I see you. I am happy that you are here, but we need for you to do more. We need for you to come out. We should be attending a rally that you have put on because you stand with the students at Mizzou, because you stand with students that saying we matter. If you think that we matter, show us that we matter by putting this on yourself. Black students, thank you for being out here. Thank you for continuing to be out here. I know it's exhausting. I have been here. We have all been here, and we come to everything, and we are here every single day living out lives, trying to make sure that we are just surviving. Graduate, get your education, educate others, educate your white peers. But white peers, it's not on us to educate you. Educate yourselves, because either we are talking, we are saying things because we have to. If we don't speak, we die inside. So make sure that when we do speak that you're listening, and then when we speak that you then tell others what we are saying, but don't speak for us, but speak in our words. And if you don't know, then ask somebody. Because we're not afraid anymore. We're out here because we are dying. We stand with Mizzou because they dared to say that they mattered and had their lives threatened. And unfortunately, the only way that their things happened was because black bodies that make money for the university dared to stand up.
Wow.
But we are worth more than when we can pass a ball or make a hoop. So don't ever forget that your mind is the most powerful weapon that you have. And that as you continue to speak, and as you continue to stand, you continue to scare people, you continue to make a change. Because only by doing this and being together and working with NPHC and BSM and RSSC and all these other organizations that are out here fighting every single day to make sure that we have a plan, we have a place to exist safely. Make sure that you continue to love each other. Because at the end of the day, if we don't love ourselves, nobody else will. Thank you.
I know we've been out here for a long time. I'm not going to keep it long to you. But one thing that I will never, ever, ever, like, just let me see, just go past me is I want to acknowledge Chancellor Folt and Carolina Conversations. Because I went and I was touched. Because it was real. So show up when we have it. See what they're talking about. Because they were talking about action. And yes, there's more to be done, but Chancellor Folt acknowledged that. And she said it. She said she was gonna do more. So I'm gonna stand behind my chancellor because I love her and I thank her for acknowledging her position of power. And secondly, I will never let an ally go by without offering them the chance to speak. And my friend Amy here wanted to speak, and I'm gonna give her my mic and my position.
Okay, I just wanted to say something, obviously. As a white woman, I will never understand, the things that black people on this campus and across the country have to go through on a daily basis, but I do acknowledge the fact that I see it every single day of my life. Every single day I see it. And I have chosen to step up and acknowledge it in the moment. And I really, really, really wanted to like just call all the white people basically to actually say something when they see it. Because too often I see people just post on social media 3 days later to get likes, to say, oh, I saw this and it was bad, and oh my God. No, you have to say something when you see it. We are the people who are the oppressors. And the oppressors are the only ones who can stop oppressing. And I just really pray that we wake up as a race and as a human race, not a colored race, not divided. It needs to be a woken thing with across all colors. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
My name's Tyler. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. I just want to say that I'm actually here visiting my beautiful African-American girlfriend. So I do support all people of color. What I want you to look at is if you guys have all broken bones, if you go and you go to the doctor to get a cast, whatever on, you look at the x-ray and you only see bones. You don't see gender, you don't see color, you don't see anything. So when you look at somebody else, you shouldn't see anything on the outside of them because that makes up nothing, absolutely nothing. So for the people that didn't want people of another skin color to talk, I will pray for you, continue to pray for you, but I want you guys to know that in Charleston, we don't have things here like this for schools standing and supporting. So I think it's an amazing thing what you guys are doing, and I think it's going to take a lot more people of my skin color to be open to you guys and to realize that you guys need help and people need to show you love because you guys deserve it. So I appreciate everything that you guys do, and I think it's an awesome thing that you guys are doing here on campus. That's it. Thank you.
Does anybody else want to speak before I close the space? Yeah. Are we good?
Yeah.
First off, I'm going to explain myself real quick because I feel like I got heated. My bad, y'all. It happens. We're human. So the reason for that, I'm sorry, the reason that the space was meant for people of color was that we don't get those spaces usually. I'm sorry, the reason that the space was for people of color is that we don't get those spaces usually and we have to make those spaces for ourselves. And this is one of those like times where I would say that we don't hate white people, we hate white systems. So like it wasn't about picking people out specifically and saying you can't be on the mic, and I respect you for being here, I thank you for being here. The point of the mic was to be for people of color because we don't ever get to just do stuff by ourselves. So that was that. I was gonna close the space off. Is that cool? Everybody's good? They want to take a really nice picture with the banner and you all looking real happy and put it on Instagram. I don't know how kids do these days. Instagram, Twitter. Somebody gonna Snapchat it or something. I don't know. But we're gonna do that. Can you just like come together real quick and take a picture?
Yeah, okay.
Just take a picture real quick where everybody get out. They're tired of us.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out. And we're just gonna take the picture and then
picture with the camera. Come on up.
They're gonna do a nice, cute smile.
Thank you so much. Also, if you have some Thursday anniversary,